as the choir's coming down and getting ready to take their place among us well, we want to remind you of where we are. The last few weeks we have been talking about, starting on Easter, we talked about those R words. We told the story of Easter through words that started with the letter of R. And that was a powerful day, but then since then we've had a response, which is another word that starts with the letter R. And we're talking about how the R words of Easter become our words of life. Because Easter, about resurrection and about repentance and all of that, is nothing if we don't take it and apply it to our life. And we must pursue and apply that. And so today we're going to continue that as we continue to talk about our words of life that come forth from that empty tomb of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to start with this verse today, Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We all know that verse, right? We've heard that verse 1,000 times. We love that verse. God loved us even while we were sinners, and he began the process of redeeming us through his son, Jesus Christ, long before we deserved it, right? Long before we were ready for it. I don't know about you, but he died for my sins long before I was ready to accept him as my Savior. He has been pursuing us since the beginning of time. And that's why our word today is pursued. We have been pursued by God since the very beginning. When Adam and Eve found sin in their life and they separated their relationship from God, from that moment forward, God has been pursuing his creation. God has been pursuing you and I. So today our word is pursued. I want to ask you a question. Are you worthy of being pursued? Do you feel like you're worthy of God's pursuit of you? I'm going to tell you something. I've told this story before, but I want to tell it again because it always gives me brownie points. And brownie points are good when you're a husband. Amen, men? That's right. So, a few years ago, just a few, because we're not old. It's just a few years. A few years ago, Sarah and I began to date. And Sarah's mom, who we talked about last week in her testimony, Sarah's mom had told her to always guard her heart and protect her heart so that she wouldn't get broken and so that she wouldn't be led astray. And so Sarah took that to heart, literally. And as we dated, we had this weird kind of pattern. She was off at school at Judson, and I was here at Birmingham working for Coca-Cola. And so during the week, I was using that long-distance phone card. I know the younger folks don't even know what that is, but I would buy those, and I would use those minutes to call her at school. And like Monday through Thursday, every time we would talk, she would get more and more excited about the weekend. And then Friday, we would have a great date. And Saturday, during the day, sometimes we day-dated, and we'd have great times, and then we'd go to church, and kind of at the end of Saturday night and all Sunday morning, as Sunday afternoon drug on, time for her to go back to school, something strange happened. It changed. This excitement that was there for us to be together on Thursday and Friday was now waning as I was pursuing her. I had pursued her. I said, come, I'm going to spend all of the money I make in my little job to make you happy for the weekend, right? And we would do that, and then at the end of the weekend, I'm thinking, this is great. This is going somewhere. I really like this girl. And by the end of the weekend, she'd be having thoughts like, you know, I don't know, maybe we're moving too fast, or maybe we're this long-distance thing isn't working, or maybe we just need some time. And so every Monday, I would go back to work with these guys that I worked with there at Coca-Cola, and they would say, how was the weekend? And I would say, this is the weirdest girl I've ever met, because it started fantastic, but now I'm not sure if we're even together again. And this was an ongoing thing every week. She had tuned in to her mom's words and guarded her heart that she was excited when I wasn't around, which kind of still is the case today in our marriage. But she was excited when I wasn't around, but then as the weekend wore on, she became weary. As she opened herself up, she became scared, and she couldn't give me her whole heart. And when she would start to, she would pull back. And so for what seemed like years and years, it was probably weeks and months, this girl that I was falling deeply in love with would pull me closer and then push me away and pull me closer and push me away. And that was our relationship. And y'all think I'm weird. You should have been a part of that, right? She couldn't give me her whole heart because she was guarding it. And every time she got close and started going somewhere where this relationship could bud into something more, fear gripped her and she pushed me away. God pursues us, much like the way that I pursued Sarah. Every Monday morning, I wanted to just be done with this crazy girl, but every Monday or Tuesday afternoon, I would talk to her, and then I was back to, okay, what bills am I not going to pay this week so that I can take her out to eat, like at Taco Bell, because I didn't have a good job, right? So, and it was all about that. I wanted to be with her. I couldn't wait for the weekend to come. God pursues us just like that, even though we push him away just like Sarah did to me. Amen? We get close to God and God starts to call us into something that might be a little bit uncomfortable for us, and what do? Whoa, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that part. So God pursues us and we get close. And let's be real. Sometimes God pursues us and we get close enough to get what we need, right? And then we push him away when we're done. I'm not so sure that that's not what Sarah was doing. I'm not so sure that I wasn't her college meal plan for like last year of school, right? Pull clothes, get fed for the weekend, push him away, going about life. We do that to God all the time. But here's the deal. God doesn't have those Monday morning conversations in heaven where he's ready to give up on you. God continues to pursue you, even when you're afraid to give him your heart. Even when you're afraid to give him all of you, God still pursues you. Our word is pursue. We are pursued by the love of a God that we can't fathom, that we can't understand, that we can't possibly even describe. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. And in fact, many times we've rejected it. Excuse me. But his love is always there. Let's watch this video this morning.
Start off with a little bit of background. I didn't grow up in church. My family never went to church. And my dad was an alcoholic. And it was always just fighting and yelling and things being broken all the time. And I was just always living in fear whenever he would come home. And my mom and dad, they finally divorced. And when I was 13, my dad, he died of cirrhosis of the liver. And that next year, I went to stay with my sister for the summer. She lived in Florida, and she was a new Christian. And I started going to church with her, and I got saved while I was there. But my walk with the Lord didn't last long, because when I got back home, I didn't have anyone to get plugged into a church or have any of the resources I needed to continue my walk with the Lord. My mom, she hadn't become a Christian yet at that time. And so over the years, I became addicted to drugs and alcohol and eventually became an alcoholic. And as the years passed, problems in my life only got worse. It was an up and down roller coaster. I just always felt like something was missing in my life. And so I used more drugs and drank more to try to cope with life. But all that did was just make things worse. It was a vicious cycle that I just kept putting myself through. And I went to several churches over the years and would rededicate my life and tell myself I was going to get myself straightened out, but I would always end up going back to those same old habits, those destructive habits. And I tried to kill myself four times during those years, and always felt so alone. And one night I had a dream, and it was, I won't go into all the details, but it was the rapture, and there was this big eye in the sky, and it was roaming around searching, and I was trying to hide from it. I was in my house, and it saw me, and the next thing I knew, I was in a room with all these people, and they were lined up, and we were facing each other, and people were going up in the air, being taken up, and my mom and my sister were next to me, and my mom went up. And then my sister went up, and I was waiting to go up, and I never did. I was just left there, and I was begging God, please don't leave me here. Please, please take me. I don't want to be left here. And when I woke up the next morning, I realized God was telling me that if I didn't change my life, that I was going to go to hell. So I gave up the drugs and started going back to church. And I didn't give up the drinking, though. I was still drinking. And I was coming home one night and had been drinking. And I had a wreck. I went down an embankment and hit a tree. And the doctors told me that I was lucky to be alive. And I have a scar on my head that is a permanent reminder of those days. God kept sparing my life, and he had a reason for it. He had a plan for my life, but I never could understand it. So on my last suicide attempt, I tried to overdose, and I woke up that morning on the floor and realized I have got to make a change. I'm at my lowest point. I've just got to change. And my pastor at that time came by the house, and I told him what I had done. And he told me that if I didn't get my life straightened out, that I could be put in a mental institution or my son could be taken away. And my son meant everything to me, and I didn't want to lose him. So I made a decision that night to rededicate my life to the Lord once and for all. And this time, I felt different inside. I really meant it this time. And so I prayed for God to forgive me and to deliver me from my alcohol addiction and the depression I was going through. And I rededicated my life once again. And so I've been sober for 19 years now and have been in church ever since then. And I give God all the praise for it, because without him taking away all the hurt and the pain and the guilt that I'd been carrying around my entire life, and had he not completely taken away that desire I was having for alcohol, I wouldn't be here to testify to what an awesome God he is. Life hasn't been easy for me these past 19 years, but ever since I asked Jesus into my life, that final time, he has opened my eyes, and I can see God everywhere now. I know I'm not alone now, that he's with me. He has walked by my side and carried me through it all. And, you know, every day he gives you and me the power to turn away from sin, and it's up to us to make that choice. And I'm far from perfect, but I'm a totally different person now than I was. I'm becoming the person God has always meant for me to be. He has blessed me more than I ever deserve, so it's a walk that I continue daily. As long as I'm faithful to him, he is there with me.
Wow. Did you hear how God pursued Miss Paula? Along the way, he would speak and she would respond. And kind of like Sarah, she wouldn't get close enough. And so he would continue to pursue and she would respond and she wouldn't get quite close enough. And yet he never gave up. He never stopped pursuing her. And in that story is hope for us all, because he never stops pursuing us either. Our God loves us so deep. So deep. Reminds us of the story in Matthew 18, verse 10 through 14, a story a lot of us are familiar with. It's the parable of the lost sheep. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Sometimes I want to take that verse and change the words right there at the end, because it is not the will of our Father in heaven that any of us should perish. We have all at one point or another been a lost sheep, haven't we? For some of us, maybe it was way when we were small. We gave our life over to Christ and we've walked with him along the way. For the others of us like myself, it was later in life when we realized that we weren't where we were supposed to be, and we listened to the call of the shepherd and we turned. We have all been at that point at some place where we were the lost sheep. And Christ had to leave the 99 to come and find us. And when he came, he called out our name. And we went towards him, sometimes a little, sometimes not far enough. I don't know if you follow our family much on Facebook, but we have a Boykin Spaniel who's not quite a year old. And when Boykin Spaniels come out of the womb, there's one of two varieties. One is super calm and super intelligent, and they're just perfect dogs. We got the other kind. The other kind is super intelligent and very hard-headed, has a mind of their own, and that's our river. And sometimes, when our river's doing something she's not supposed to, we can call her name, and she'll come a little bit, and then she'll look, situation over. He doesn't have anything in his hand to hit me with. I'm closer to this thing I want than he is to me. I'm going back where I was, right? I check, is it safe? Oh, good, good. Now I'm going right back where I was, which causes me to then what? Find something to throw at the dog. I'm just kidding. No, it causes me to get up and go to her. We are like that with God so much. We hear the voice of our shepherd, and we might turn just a little bit, but before we go all the way where he can lead us out of the place that we're at, sometimes we turn around and go right back in. And yet he never stops searching. He never stops searching for the sheep he's lost. It's of great value to him. You are of great value to your Father. And he's searching for you and calling your name. Paula's story really wasn't about what led her astray. So many times we hear this, we're thinking about that lost sheep, and we say, oh, the sheep was lost, and what led that sheep astray? And we need to focus on the sin that keeps us from God and separates us from God. Folks, we miss the point of the story. The point of the story is it's about the relentless pursuing love that brought her home. Not the fact that she went astray. Not the fact that she didn't fully open up her heart. Is it the full, relentless, powerful love of the Father chased her and found her and called to her until she responded. The same God who called to you and is calling to you, hoping and waiting for you to respond. No matter where we stray, God's love finds us every time. And we see that played out in Psalm 139. The first 16 verses and then the last two. Let me read these words to you. This is a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there are any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God's love finds us no matter where we stray. And this verse speaks to that. Even David, we make our bed in Sheol, we make our bed in hell, we give in to the world, we give in to the enemy, the temptations, the sin. And even in the midst of our sin, doesn't God come and find us? Doesn't his love shout out our name to recall us? Doesn't he pursue us in the midst of the things that we choose to destroy us? His love is unstoppable. There is nothing on the earth, under the earth, around the earth, above the earth, ever created that is bigger than his love. His love is unstoppable. And some of you are thinking right now exactly where you were when his love found you. Maybe the first time, or maybe the 21st time. We stray. We fall away from the Father. We make decisions that we regret. We make decisions that endanger us. And the love of our Father searches for us, pursues us, and finds us each and every time. In that, we can rest. In that, we have hope. But I don't want you to miss this, because it's not one-sided. It's not that we go and we do our thing, and then God comes after us. There is another part of that that we need to pay attention to, and that's this. God pursues us. God calls out. But we have to respond. When I was deep in my sin, God was calling my name. God wanted to take that sin from me. He wanted to rescue me from where I was. But He will not force Himself on me. His love is unstoppable, but it's not without limits, because He allows it to be limited for us. He allows us to choose whether to take His love. He allows us to choose whether or not to reach out and grab His hand and be rescued from where we are. I can't understand that love. I can't understand, I can't fathom how deep that love must go, that He gives me a choice. He will pursue us to the ends of the earth, but we have to turn and we have to respond. Miss Paula responded, and God pursued, and she responded a little deeper, and God pursued, and she responded a little deeper. Every time, if you can imagine this, she was taking a step out of the brambles, out into safety, towards the voice of her shepherd. And every time that she stopped, God called more. Isn't that your story too? Isn't that your story as well, that every time you took a step back, God called your name until you were out and you were walking with Him? His love doesn't fail us. But the question sometimes we ask is, how can we know that voice that we hear, that dream that awakens us, how can we know for sure that it's God? Isn't our mind filled with all kinds of voices? I don't know about you, but every now and then I hear quotes in my head and I think, is that God or is that Oprah Winfrey? Where did I hear this, right? Where did I hear that? How can we be sure the things that we're following are the voice of the shepherd? Well, a couple things that we need to do. We have to get used to that voice. And we have to have faith in that voice, that He's taking us and calling us into something else. Let's look in John 10. In John 10, the first five verses, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Because he's calling your name. Even if you've walked with him for years, he is still calling you somewhere deeper, somewhere closer. He is calling your name. We have to be open to the voice. That's the other thing I sometimes just can't stand about River. When she gets in her mind that she wants to go and sniff something, she knows my voice. She ignores my voice. And my voice gets louder. And she ignores my voice. And my voice goes to a certain pitch with a certain tone, and she knows, oh no, right? And that's when she turns. Folks, we are not so far from River. For God calls to us with his loving tone, and we say, I really want to go do this thing. And so he calls a little bit more, with some more urgency, and we go a little bit further. And it seems like we are just like this dog. We are so thick-headed that sometimes he has to yell at us before we ever turn around. How much more would we enjoy the love of the Father if we listened the first time? We have to be open to hear the voice of God. We have to be searching to hear the voice of God. And the second thing is, we need to fall in love with that voice. We need to fall in love with that voice. When Sarah and I were dating and we were going this back and forth thing, I would call down to Judson, and you never knew. In a college of all women, you never knew who was going to answer the phone. And so I would call down there and I would have to ask, Sarah? And sometimes they would lie because they just wanted to talk to a boy. It didn't matter, right? Kind of made you feel good to be the boy. You know, I was just, hey, I'll call all the time. But I didn't know her voice because we hadn't been together very long, and I couldn't pick her voice out on that long-distance, scratchy telephone line. Then the longer we dated, I got to know her voice. And now that we're married, I can pick out her voice. I find my wife in Walmart, not by texting, but simply walking around listening for her talking or her laughing or her sneeze. She has a certain sneeze. I've become accustomed to that sneeze, right? And it's not because she's loud, even though that's a part of her family. They're a little louder than my family. It's because I know that voice. And when I hear that voice, I feel comfort, and I know that that is the one that I love. This is my mate. This is my wife. This is the one I've given my life to. We need to have that same approach when we hear the voice of God. This is the one who calls me. This is my shepherd. This is the one that I love. This is the one who loves me. And the only way that we can know is his voice is if we spend enough time listening for his voice and following his voice. Not the voice of your pastor, but the voice of your shepherd, your God. We have to fall in love with his voice. We first have to be open to it, and when we hear it, we have to allow it to penetrate the deepest parts of our heart so that when he calls our name, we surrender completely and entirely. God pursues you with a love that never relents and never, ever fades. He does not get tired of pursuing you. He does not grow weary. And if he's been pursuing you for 60 years, he'll pursue you for 60 more if it's necessary. Why make him pursue you? Surrender. Stop running from the voice that's calling you into a place of safety. Stop holding on to your heart. Sarah was wise to listen to her mother say, guard your heart against those evil boys. But she held on to it too long, and her mother had to come to her one day and say, you've got to stop doing this or you're going to lose something that's very, very good in your life. Now, her mom wasn't a great judge of character, obviously, right? But she had to listen to her mom again to know to let her heart go. If you don't hear anything else today, listen to this. The Holy Spirit is calling you. Let go of your heart. Trust him with everything. Don't take a few steps towards him and then say, but I don't want to get rid of this. I'm comfortable with this. You're going to be much more comfortable if you let go and walk with your shepherd. Answer the call. Answer the voice. Because God is calling you into something much better. But maybe you're here this morning and you're like, well, I'm not one of the stray sheep. I'm one of the 99. I've been walking good this whole time. Well, you know what? Sometimes the 99 are the problem. I didn't hear a single amen. All right? Sometimes the 99 are the problem. Because the only way that the shepherd could leave the 99 is because he knew that they were going to stay together and follow what he had told them to do. He knew that they were going to be where he had placed them. Sometimes the 99 end up becoming the stray because we can't rest where God has put us. We have to continue to try and test and explore. We can't be content. We get nervous. When we get nervous, we look around for better grass or a safer pasture. And when we do, we turn around and find out that now we're gone from the flock and the Savior is calling us back. Folks, if you're a part of the 99, try hard to follow the voice and stay where you're supposed to stay. Because the shepherd is going out looking for those who are not a part of the flock yet. Let's not make him do double duty. Amen? We've answered the call. Let's live out our call to follow that voice. We are all pursued by God. There are no qualifiers. You don't have to do this in order to have God call you. You don't have to be this age or this demographic. You don't have to be worthy and you don't have to be ready. God is pursuing you just the way that you are, with the same passion he's pursuing everyone else. You are his children and he desires to be reconnected with you. So the enemy is going to try to tell you that you're not worthy. The enemy is going to try to tell you that something's happened in your life and you are no longer of worth to God. God is not pursuing you. He may just be going like, hey, sheep, come here. That's about as far as he's going. That's what the enemy wants you to consider. But you need to know that God's love doesn't stop. He is pursuing you to the very ends of the earth, and he desires more than anything else for you to be reconnected with him. Louis Giglio says it like this: the God who created everything and needs nothing pursues you. Don't let anyone sell you less worth than that. You are worthy of God's love simply because you are his child. And that is enough. You are enough. He pursues you with his love. Surrender to that call. I love this last part. It's time for us to let ourselves be caught. I didn't catch Sarah. I wasn't worthy of Sarah. But Sarah made up her mind at one point that she would allow herself to be caught. Maybe it's because she saw that one day he's going to turn into something good. Maybe it's because she looked around and was like, well, no one else has been calling me in a while. I might as well stick with this one. I don't know what motivated her, but at some point she let herself be caught. Let yourself be caught by the one who pursues you. Let yourself be caught by God. It might be nerve-wracking where he's calling you. It might seem like it's going to be weird where he's calling you. But he is calling you into something that you can't imagine. He's calling you into a relationship with him that will give you what you need and give you the strength and use your life to bring joy to others. He's calling you into green pastures, into peace, into joy. Surrender and let yourself be caught, and you will know the joy of the Lord. God's love pursues you. Today, our challenge is to listen and move towards the voice. Amen.